Our natural tendency on Tisha B'Av is to focus on the big things. Destruction of the two Batei Mikdash, Golus being forcibly removed from our homeland, sent into wandering diaspora. And that's as it should be. That is the theme of Tisha B'Av, to focus on Golus, to focus on Chorban. However, we can't miss the fact that a number of the kinos speak about much smaller things, and in fact, in some of the cases, speak about even just individuals. For example, early on in the morning, we read Kina Yud Aleph, which is the very famous kina, in fact, maybe one of the earliest, if not the earliest and most authoritative kina we have, Vayakonin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Obviously, the rest of the kina is written much later, but the opening words of the kina actually come from Tanakh, from Divrei HaYamim Bet. And this is an entire kina initiated by the Navi, all about one person, Melech Yoshiyahu, Yoshiyahu HaMelech, the king. And it tells the whole story of his incredible life. He became a king at a very young age, under incredibly shocking circumstances from our perspective, rampant ignorance and irreligiosity. One thing leads to another, and he becomes himself religious. He leads an unprecedentedly successful tshuva campaign. Everything is going great, but unfortunately he miscalculates. He thinks he was more successful than he was. There was still some residual of avodah zarah, and because of that miscalculation, he makes a more tragic error, which leads to his very tragic death. It's an incredible story, but at the end of the day, it's one person. There's limited time, a finite number of kinos. We dedicate one to just a single individual. Somewhat similarly, we have much later in the kinos, Kina Chav Gimel is an entire kina based on Medrash and Gemara and Gittin, about the two children of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, a boy and a girl who were sold into Roman slavery. They were both very handsome, and their respective owners thought that, presumably these are slaves, they'll be immoral. They figured we could mate them, and their children, which we would jointly own, will be super handsome, super beautiful, and we can make a lot of money from them. And they put them in a dark room overnight, assuming that they would act immorally. However, each one of the children retreating to their corner, not knowing who was on the other side, but understanding the intention of their owner, refused to do anything immoral. After all, they said, how could I do that? I am the son, I am the daughter of the Kohen Gadol. Eventually, in the dawn's light, they realize it is their brother, it is their sister, it is their sibling in the room. Overwhelmed with emotion, they hug, and they die. Again, an incredible, incredible story. But it's about an individual. Okay, two individuals, but still, an entire kina, just about two individuals. So, that this is a thing is clear. The question is, why is it a thing? What's the message? Why would we, in the collective genius of the Jewish people over the centuries, evolve to dedicate at least two, if not more, kinos just to individual life, not the big story, or so we would think? I believe that there are two reasons for this, both incredibly important. The first is psychological or emotional. In order for things to have a powerful impact on us, we have to personalize them. I believe it was Stalin, Yimach Shemo, who said, one death is a tragedy, a million a statistic. We can't wrap our head around big stories of Gullus, big stories of Holocaust. It's hard. But when we hear about one person, one story, that can penetrate our heart. I believe even Rabbi Lau, in an article that he once published, or at least was published in his name, in a little booklet that was published by a youth group in England about 10 years ago, so he acknowledged there, even someone who went through everything he went through, but that reading the diary of Anne Frank had that impact on him. Just reading that story of one person, of one little girl in one little attic, that individual story had an incredible impact, and he understood the power of that book and its ability to personalize the Holocaust. A second and equally important idea is not psychological, but philosophical, a statement of important Jewish hashkafa. That is the absolute value we place on every life. Rav Soloveitchik and others have made this point. Rav Soloveitchik in particular highlighted this when it came to the second kina we mentioned of the children of Yishmael Kohen Gadol. After all, this is not the king or some big famous rabbi or leader or navi. Just two kids. War is terrible. And in war, lots of people get killed. Lots of kids. Throughout human history, who can even imagine? And yet, we dedicate an entire kina just to telling their story, because it highlights in such a dramatic way the hashkafa of Yiddishkeit, that every life is of infinite value. Two Rambams which are both based on earlier sources in Chazal, bring this point to life in a very specific halachic way. The Rambam in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah brings down the famous case of Tnu Lanu Achas Mikem. If non-Jews surround a big group of Jews, and they say, here, just give us one of you, and we'll kill him, but we'll let everyone else live, we're not allowed to sacrifice even one life. It's true, we know that more will die, but that's the evil of the enemy. But we ourselves, to sacrifice, even under the best of intentions, can't sacrifice even one life. That's how valuable it is. And of course, that's also enshrined in the Psak that the Rambam brings down in Hilchos Rotzeach, Kol HaMakayim Nefesh Achas MiYisrael Ki'ilu Kiyim Olam Malei. That if you save even one life, it's as if you saved the world. And of course, if you take one life, it's equally tragic. So these are two important reasons which I think underlie this theme on Tisha B'Av, which we see in a number of kinos, of focusing on the individual. It has emotional power and hashkafic potency as well.